Junk Food Dinner 153. It's our third birthday, and we're getting deep in the trenches as we take a look at third installments of franchise past. Up first, more blood-splattered PJs and negligees as a house full of teenagers are slaughtered one by one in Slumber Party Massacre 3. Next, we return to Frogtown and get hopping mad. Donald G. Jackson dives back into the pond for more Sen filmmaking in The Toad Warrior. Finally, get chucked up, stay chucked up. It's more devastation and curious business decisions as we take a look at Child's Play 3.
Just think, Chucky's gonna be a bro.
Welcome to Junk Food Dinner, episode 153. This is the podcast where each week we scour the internet, video stores, and cable television looking for the most outrageous and interesting cult films. We're not professional film journalists or critics by any means. We are simply three geeks from Ohio with entirely too much time on our hands. In Ohio, I am Kevin Moss, and I'm joined by my co-host Parker Bowman in California, and for the last time, Mark Fredo in New York. This week is our three-year anniversary, and sadly, Mark's final episode. So to celebrate, we're going to take a look back at three of our favorite and least favorite movies of the last year of JFD. In addition, we'll be taking a look at three number threes. Up first, Slumber Party Massacre 3 from 1990, Frogtown 3, aka Toad Warrior from 1996, and Child's Play 3 from 1991. But first, gentlemen, how's it going? 3 years.
Down the toilet tubes.
But it's been a you know, kind of mixed emotions here at the JFD offices for this episode, because on one hand, we're excited. You know, three-year anniversary, it's great. We've met a lot of really awesome people through the show in the last 3 years, made a lot of really good friends online and IRL, and talked about a lot of crazy movies and had a lot of really fun times. But on the other hand, we're sad because it is Mark's final show, the last episode with our brother Fredo. But, you know, it's you know, you've given us 3 good years.
And I've given you 3 years.
Yeah.
2 good years.
Right. Yeah, 2 good. I'll take it. You know, that's more than half. Well, yeah. No, this is it's definitely bittersweet. You know, we talked about this kind of a while ago, and I was like, well, at least that day won't come for a long time. And then it kind of came up very quickly. And now here we are.
Yeah, but you know, you're always welcome back on the show. Of course, you think you're gonna make some guest appearances here and there?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I will come back for sure. Hopefully, you know, a couple times over the summer, or we'll figure it out. But I'll be back on. I'll be a guest and abuse that privilege.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, we'll be happy to have you. And I know the listeners are gonna miss you. And but you know, it's you've given us 3 years. That's, you know, more than many relationships I've had in my life.
Absolutely. Yeah, you guys are the best podcast bros a shad mock like me could have. So this has been a blast, and I'm sad to go, but I'm glad I can come back sometime and party with you guys again.
Like nice. when Gutterballs 2 comes out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's gonna be fun for everyone.
Except for you.
Except for me.
So you'll still be doing stuff at the Spectacle Theater. So if any of our listeners ever are in the New York area and still want to party with Fredo, hit him up at the Spectacle Theater and check out some crazy movies.
Come party, yeah. And I can, you know, I still might weasel my way into events by repping JFD. So
right,
I'll keep you guys abreast of those.
Nice, awesome. So yeah, again, three years. I never thought when we started this thing up that that we would make it to 3 years. I was surprised when we made it to 1 year. So,
yeah, I mean, when you proposed this, I was like, yeah, this will be fun for a little bit, and then it just kept going, and it kept being fun, and it kind of grew and grew, and you know, even in the first couple of months, we had some big breaks, and I don't know, it just got more and more exciting, and we met so many great people, and all of a sudden, 3 years later, here we are.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, I think the thing that has kept us going these 3 years is the people that write in and talk to us on Facebook and call the voicemail line. Because honestly, if we were just doing this and we were getting like absolutely no reaction whatsoever, which I honestly thought was going to be, you know, a distinct possibility. Like when we started this, I was like,
what even is a podcast?
Right. I was like, maybe like a few people listen, like our friends, and then it'll eventually people will just be like, that's cute, but I'm done with this. But the fact that like people like listen on a regular basis and call in and suggest movies, and all that stuff is awesome. You know, buy t-shirts, talk to us on Facebook. You know, that is what keeps us going. So we really appreciate that. And it would not be 3 years without you guys. So
absolutely.
That's true.
So thank you for that. So, of course, the big news that, you know, besides Mark's departure is, so what's the future hold for Junk Food Dinner? Are you guys going to continue on without Mark? And the answer is yes. We have to move on. So finding a replacement has been a daunting task because you know
Grandpa's not going to be around forever.
Yeah,
hello. I mean,
Grandpa's getting hi, Grandpa. I mean, no offense.
Hey.
You're getting up there in years, and you know you have a limited vocabulary. So we needed somebody.
Quit screwing around and help me.
Yeah, I know, but. But so we needed somebody that could fill Mark's shoes, and that was a hard task because you know we wanted somebody who was knowledgeable about the subject, somebody who was fun and funny, and you know there was a lot of people that we considered, and but really it all came down to one dude. So the big announcement, the new host. I'm gonna get a little dremel here. The new host of Junk Food Dinner will be Sean Byron.
Woo!
Oh yeah.
So, my new enemy.
So if you're thinking to yourself, okay, what makes Sean Byron qualified to take over as host of Junk Food Dinner? Now, first of all, this guy's been with us since almost the beginning.
Yeah.
And I seemingly out of nowhere. Because like we didn't know him prior. I've never even met the guy, honestly. And just he loved the show. He would always write in, always make suggestions, always you know talk to us. But not only that, the dude is just a fucking encyclopedia of movie knowledge. He brings something that we've never had on Junk Food Dinner before, and that is knowledge of the subject.
Professionalism.
Yeah. So this guy is going to be, I think he's going to be a great addition to Junk Food Dinner. He knows more about cult movies than pretty much anybody I've ever talked to. The guy's got like something like 5,000 VHS tapes or something.
Yeah, he's a champion. I have met Sean Byron, and I can tell you that he is a prince among men. We hung out here in New York, came to the spectacle, we went VHS hunting, we drank coffee, you know, all the things that you do. And since that, yeah, like you said, he's always been extremely supportive of the show, helped us find movies, just commented and helped out whenever he could. And it makes total sense that he would take over and do a better job than me.
Yeah, so, you know, be patient through the transition. Sean's not a professional podcaster yet, but he will get there. So it's going to be a little transition period, but I think he's going to do a great job, and I think you guys are going to learn to love him as much if not more than Mark. So,
well, yeah, we guarantee it.
Yeah, this will be like the Joel or Mike debate on Mystery Science Theater 3000 eventually.
Oh, I'm honored to be in that kind of comparison. I was going to say, like, when the middle daughter left Family Matters and nobody noticed, that's what I was going to compare it to.
But yeah, so next episode, Sean Byron's first official show as the third man of JFD. So look forward to that. It's going to be a lot of fun. To celebrate, we're going to be taking a look at all three Evil Dead movies, the new one and one and two. So that's going to be a great way to welcome Sean to the family and cover some classics. So
that's the week after next week, as the movie doesn't come out until the 5th.
Oh, right on.
Next week is some stuff. Bad Boy Bubby or something, I think.
Ah.
Oh, yeah.
And a Julian Sands movie to properly welcome him.
Gotcha. I got confused there.
Roll out the red carpet.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So without further ado, let's get into some junk mail, because we got a lot of good junk mail, voicemails, wanting to wish us a happy 3-year anniversary and to talk about the departure of our good friend, Mr. Fredo. So the first voicemail comes to us from Eric from Santa Cruz.
Hi, Junk Food Dinner guys. This is Eric from Santa Cruz. How dare you people accuse me of talking about dicks constantly? Really, really. Anyways, Mark, I'm going to miss you. You other two dudes.
Miss you too, buddy.
Yeah, you guys are okay. I think you guys should review The Color of Night with Bruce Willis. It's a really good movie. Well, yeah, it has a dick in it, but I really like the movie. It has nothing to do with the dick.
A dick in its butt? Is that what he said?
I think so. I like that this Google Voice Translator, it says, how dare you accuse me of talking about the X constantly? Like that radio station? Eric from Santa Cruz loves Alice in Chains and Stone Temple Pilots.
Girl.
He loves America's new rock alternative.
Seven Mary Three.
Mm-hmm.
The next voicemail comes to us from Mandy.
Hey, Junk Food Dinner fellas. This is Mandy from Dayton, Ohio. And I was just calling to tell Mark congrats on getting off this sinking ship piece of crap show. Congrats, buddy. You did it. Good job. I will miss your giggling. And I just have one movie suggestion, and that's 2011's Bellflower. It's written, directed, and stars Mr. Evan Goodell. An interesting fact about this movie is that he built the camera from scratch that he filmed the movie with, and it gives it a very unique look, which I really dig. Essentially, it's about two friends who are obsessed with Mad Max, specifically Lord Humongous, and they are preparing for the apocalypse. They build a flamethrower and a pretty sweet souped-up muscle car and start a gang called Mother Medusa. The apocalypse eventually does happen, but not in a way that you might imagine. And I think it's a very discussable movie. I think it's pretty interesting, and I would love to hear your guys' take on it. So I hope to hear it in a future episode. And that's it. I just wanted to say thank you for being one of the least annoying podcasts out there. Okay, bye, guys.
Awesome. Thank you, Mandy. Well, if you'd like us to review The Bellflower, now is a good time to plug this. You can actually have your say for our 157th movie. We are taking your votes on what movies we're going to cover. We got 9 suggestions, all submitted by listeners over the course of the last couple months. And you can vote on which ones you want to, what 3 you want to see on episode 157. We got The Boy Who Cried Werewolf, Devil's Reign, Super Inframan, Phenomena, The Stabilizer, A Swang, versus Funky Forest, or, as Mandy mentioned, Bellflower. And, yeah, they're all up there for your voting pleasure. So go Junk Food Dinner now and vote for 3 of those that you like. And the top 3 will make up episode 157. So don't ever say we didn't do anything for you.
Or to you.
Yeah.
Aswang is getting no love at this point.
Oh, come on.
Based solely on the name, I'm assuming. Yeah, Bellflower is great. Mandy made me watch it, and now hopefully she'll make you and Sean Byron watch it, and maybe even Mark as well. We have no control over
seen
what...
it.
Yeah, that's true, but you can watch it again. You can rewatch.
I would watch it again, probably.
It's so good, so hopefully that wins, but I don't think that it'll hold up to the craziness of, like...
Just... Well, this is a spoiler alert, kind of, but whenever you guys put these polls up, I'm going to troll you guys really hard.
You going to pick the worst one like they do with American Idol?
Yeah. You guys are going to be watching a lot of Bean, I think.
I can't wait.
I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart.
Yeah.
All right. Next voicemail comes to us from Jordan from the Olympic Artichoke podcast.
Hey, junk food dudes. This is Jordan from the Olympic Artichoke podcast. I wanted to call in before Mark left and say how much we're going to miss that dude. He was awesome. Favorite Mark moments. Probably the Cabin in the Woods episode where Mark and Parker really kind of went at it. I enjoyed that episode. But anyway, yeah, I'm excited about hearing who the new replacement is. That'll be cool. Kind of hoping that it's Robo John Brown. That would be exciting. But I do like the addition of Grandpa. He's been great. Don't really have any recommendations or anything, but I want to say happy third anniversary and that we'll miss you, Mark. You were a great part of the show. All right. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Jordan.
Yeah, awesome, Jordan. Thank you for calling in and leaving a message.
Mm-hmm. That Jordan, he's so nice.
He's a nice man.
Yeah. And what are your favorite Mark moments, Kevin Moss? Do you have a favorite? Let's reminisce.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people love the Gutterballs rant. That was a favorite of mine. Anytime Mark hated it on a movie really hard, I really loved.
You mean the remakes that we've done?
Right.
I hate other stuff. I hate lots of stuff.
I don't want to pigeonhole your hate. You're right.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to pinpoint, you know, out of 153 episodes, you know, favorite stuff, but it's all been gold.
Except there's a lot of stuff that's happened off the air.
Right.
That has also been really funny that maybe everyone wasn't privy to, but we've had some laughs.
I'll say.
Grandpa knows what I'm talking about.
And just for nostalgia purposes, Mark's going to sound like a robot intermittently throughout this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like old times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that cabin.
Yeah, I'm using my old microphone, not plugged in. I got my roommates watching that SVU episode.
Yeah, I like that Cabin in the Woods episode. I especially like it
because
after we did it, like immediately after we recorded that episode, you guys were like, no one's going to want to listen to an hour of us talking about Cabin in the Woods. And I think that that's the episode that I hear most about people enjoying. So that's funny.
That is funny. It's funny that people want to listen to us do stuff like that.
Yeah. One thing I found is I'm constantly wrong about what the listeners want. Every time I say, the listeners will love this, it gets no reaction whatsoever. And then every time I'm like, this is the dumbest thing. The listeners are going to hate this. It's like everybody's favorite. I don't know what.
Yeah, there's no telling with you guys.
It's a mixed bag. A chaotic bag.
Right.
Veritable cornucopia.
Yeah. But my favorite Mark moment is that time that we talked about The Burning. And then you mentioned about how those pornos were making you horny. That's very funny to me.
Are making me horny.
That makes me laugh and laugh.
That is absolutely the best Seinfeld reference I think I've made on the show to date.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You've got about an hour left to top it.
I'll try to think of something during Frogtown.
Awesome. Well, while you do that, let's get into our next voicemail. This comes from Ricky from Austin, who I had a chance to party with at South by Southwest.
Hey, guys. This is Ricky in Austin. Hey, Kevin. What's up, man? Had a great time during South by. Just wanted to catch up with you on a few things. I could talk about Evil Dead, which was awesome. That was a lot of fun. And I just happened to catch Spring Breakers after I saw you last. That was pretty incredible. But I actually want to talk to you guys more about something that really piqued my interest as of late. And that's I just watched Hot Bubblegum, which is the the original version that The Last American Virgin was taken from. And it's on Netflix right now. And, man, that is fucking awesome. You guys really need to check that out, man. It is great. And, Parker, I'm sure you'd appreciate it because it's kind of it's got that Roller Town thing going on, I think, a little bit. It's got little screwballs in it. But anyhow, love you guys. And, Mark, I'm going to miss you, man. I'm going to miss you very much, man. I'm sorry you got to go and do what you got to do, but you'll be missed. Anyhow, I love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon. Always listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Always listening.
Always.
Like Santa Claus.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's awesome. Thank you, Ricky, for calling in. I had a great time hanging out with that dude at South by Southwest. Super nice guy. Super hospitable. And a lot of fun to talk to. So, yeah. And I did watch that. The one I watched was called, like, Lemon Popsicle, which I think also there's a bunch of sequels as well, and I think one of them was called Hot Bubblegum. But yeah, they're the Israeli movies that the Last American Virgin was based off of. And yeah, I checked it out on Netflix, and it is good. I mean, those are set in the 50s, whereas the Last American Virgin was set in the 80s. But a lot of the same kind of scenes, and but it is well done. And if you liked the Last American Virgin, definitely worth checking out.
Hope it's a lot less creepy than that Last American Virgin.
Or more creepy.
Yeah, yeah, either way. Either way, I'll accept it.
They still keep the peen measuring intact.
Of course they do. It was the 50s. They had to.
Right. Mm-hmm. No iPods back then. our last voicemail comes to us from our longtime friend and, you know, frequent contributor to the show, the one, the only, Mr. Kyle from Kentucky.
Hey, Packer Next. It's Kyle from Kentucky. I hope you guys are doing good. Just got back from Whorehound in Cincinnati yesterday. It was a lot of fun. It was a little too crowded. Got really drunk and really high and hung out in the bar with the guy from Steve Tash from Ghostbusters, the guy that got shocked in the movie, and he was also in Christine. Hung out with him, and he was hitting on every ugly whore in the bar. But yeah, it was all right. It was a good time. Whorehound was. End up having sex with some skank with pink hair. It was fun. But I ain't really got any
nice
this week. And, I really think it would be cool if y'all could come up with give us a theme song. Me and Matthew Sweetman and whoever the hell that other person was, but. Yeah, Mark, again, we're going to miss you on the show, but I guess you just don't have time. You know how you New Yorkers are. Well, guys,
that's
you all
right.
Take it easy, man.
I'm walking here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I love that. I love that guy from Kentucky.
That was quite a voicemail to go out on. I'll take it.
Yeah, first of all, Kyle, you're in Cincinnati, my hometown, and you don't even call me to party.
Scandalous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you go to Whorehound? Whorehound?
No, I didn't go to Whorehound.
Whorehound. That's the one I'm going to say. I'm doing that one. It's going to be in Covington, right across the street. Whorehound. It's where we do hand-based horror movies. Idle Hands, Devin Sawa's going to be there. It's coming up this Halloween.
Oh, man.
Evil Thumb Evil Day. Panic. Yeah, Bruce Campbell will be
all
there.
All those thumb movies, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then every patron who comes gets sliced thumb.
Oh, God. Yeah, when do you guys... Now that I'm gone, I think you should probably do a theme show based around those thumb movies.
I like Thumbtanic the best.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Thing from Adam's Family is the surprise guest star.
Screening of Manos.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I didn't go to Horror Hound. Like, tickets sold out like relatively quick, and people were all jazzed to, I guess, see the Walking Dead people. But yeah, I've gone a couple years in a row before, and it's always a good time. And I love Horror Hound. Like, they're the best fucking horror magazine in existence, in my opinion. And they're based out of here in Cincinnati, and so yeah, they do good stuff. But you know. I would have loved to, honestly, if I would have known Kyle from Kentucky would have been there, that would have been the selling point that I needed to to actually go.
Yeah, fuck those idiots from The Walking Dead. Who cares?
Yeah, I want to meet Kyle from Kentucky. But that's awesome that you had a good time and got to have sex with some pink-haired girl. You know, that's what it's all about.
Yeah, that's the true horror hound.
Yeah, so awesome, man. Well, next time you're in Cincinnati, Kyle, you got to give me a call. And
legally.
Yeah. You're legally obligated to call me. And we'll get high and troll for pink-haired girls, so.
Nice.
But if you'd like to get involved in the conversation, please give us a call on our voicemail line at 347-746-JUNK. That's 347-746-5865. Or leave us a email the old-fashioned way at jfdpodcast@gmail.com. Or send us a handwritten letter.
Yeah, that would be nice.
We don't have a we don't have an address to send it to, but you know, just put junk food dinner on it.
Put a stamp. Drop it in the street. Yeah, yeah.
We'll find it. We'll
get here. Yeah, listen. And you guys can't talk about me in voicemails or emails or anything anymore. This is it.
Oh no,
I'm dead to you.
Oh no. We still got robot Mark Fredo to chime in every once in a while.
Yeah, you'll be hearing from my lawyer.
I hate this.
Don't be an ass, Francis.
Sorry, Grandpa.
All right, so we are going to take a very quick break, and then when we come back, we are going to jump into our top three and bottom three movies of the last year of Junk Food Dinner. Talk about what movies we loved and what movies we hated. So stick around.
JunkFoodDinner.com is the world's oldest and sexiest website. Go to JunkFoodDinner.com for the latest episodes of the show. We also have all of our past episodes. You will also find news about the show, movie news, trailers, funny stuff, and links to our friends. You can also leave us log comments, because that makes us happy. We hope our website will be a good way for you to spend time during the downtime in life, when celebrities are not going hilariously crazy, and when the Warcraft servers are down.
I can't do it. We'll do it live. No, we'll do it live! Fuck it! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Fucking thing sucks.
Yeah. All right, welcome back to Junk Food Dinner. To celebrate our third year anniversary, we thought we'd take a look back at the year that was and recount some of our favorite and least favorite movies that we've subjected each other to over the last year of Junk Food Dinner. So we went back, we looked at the archives, we said, look at all these fucking movies we watched, and we've each picked out our three favorite movies that we watched and our three least favorite. Now, the rules are simple. You can't pick a movie that you chose, you know, because obviously a lot of times those are movies that you already like or think you'll like, so it has to be something that somebody else chose or a listener suggested, and it also, you know, you don't want to pick movies that, you know, you've seen, like, you know, obviously RoboCop is like one of my favorite films of all time, but I'm not going to put that in my top five. Because one, I picked it, or top three, because one, I picked it, and two, you know, everybody loves RoboCop. So these are ones that kind of either surprised us in the way that we liked it, didn't expect to like it, or just had never heard of it before, or in the least favorite, you know, ones that just enraged us to no end, having to sit through it. So let's start off with the good, because I feel the bad will probably be a little bit more entertaining. Mark, as you are our soon-to-be-departed friend, let's start with you. What was one of your favorite films of the last year of Junk Food Dinner?
One of my favorite films was one that definitely took me by surprise, and one that I've rewatched now a few times and actually gotten to speak to the director about, and one of the other guys did it as a midnight at the theater and stuff, so it's a lot of fun, and that is Bloodsuckers from Outer Space.
Nice.
Somebody else that I know just put a thing up on some sort of social media platform that just said Texas regional horror is the best horror. And I think that might be true, at least, you know, when I think of specific titles and the kind of lumping them together. But yeah, this was so fun and so good in a way that I absolutely was not expecting. And, you know, a great soundtrack, some really fantastic kind of subtle in-camera stuff, and just like an all-around good time. So I was really taken by this and excited about it when we watched it. And then, Kevin, you were kind enough to send me a VHS copy of this, which I think is very cool. And so, yeah, this is one that I found myself going back to and thinking about a lot. And I've shown it to a few other people. Like when we did it at the theater, a couple other people watched it, and everybody agreed that it's a great flick. So this was definitely going to be on my list. And when we first started talking about this, this was the first one that popped into my head.
Yeah, this is one. I mean, if I hadn't picked this, this would definitely be on my list because I hadn't seen it either before we did it for the show. And it was just one of these ones that I had heard the title and it sounded interesting. I think the first time I heard of it was Massacre Video, which is like a small label that reissues VHS tapes, reissued a copy of it on VHS. And I was like, well, what the hell is this? Bloodsuckers from Mars? Like, or Bloodsuckers. Is it Bloodsuckers from Mars or Bloodsuckers from Outer Space?
Outer Space.
Outer Space. But yeah, I was like, what the hell is this? So you know, finally getting a chance to see it, I you know, it's definitely low budget, but it's got a lot of, you know, tongue-in-cheek humor, and it was cool. I really dug this a lot too. So I've also gone back and watched this a couple of times since we did it for the show, so that's always a good sign.
Yeah, this is a good one. I don't like it as much as you guys apparently, but it's good. It's fun.
Yeah. Like if you haven't seen it, check it out.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the Massacre tapes are gone. They were on these cool blue tapes, and I didn't get one. And if you wanted to send me a goodbye present, that would be fine. But seek this one out if you haven't seen it. And I think you'll enjoy it.
Nice. Parker, what about you? What was one of your favorite movies of the past year?
Well, I'm going to do a cheaty cop-out here and have a tie for my third one.
Mmm.
I know, I usually don't like it, but I, you know, that's what I'm doing. I'm going to go with a movie that I absolutely love, and that's Primer.
Mm.
I never saw it. So good. I like time travel. It's one of these time travel movies without there being, you know, a lot of dopey special effects and kids riding on hoverboards and stuff like that. It's Come about on. The people who time travel, you know, rather than the time traveling itself. And I think it's brilliant. But my tie for this is a movie that I think that I love, but the main actor is like so shitty and awful that I'm not sure if I love it, and that's A Vampire's Kiss.
Ooh, yeah.
It's such a good movie, and it ties into all the stuff I love, as it's basically American Psycho, my favorite thing. But Nicolas Cage is the fucking worst at acting, and And usually it's bad, but I can't tell if it somehow works in this or if it somehow makes the movie worse. And it's just a very confusing movie, but I think that I love it.
Yeah, I didn't care for either of these movies. but I can see why people do. Like, I mean, there's some movies we watch on this, and I'm like, this movie is fucking terrible, and I don't understand how anybody in their right mind could enjoy this. But these two, I mean, I totally get why people like it. Like, Primer was a very well-made movie, a very smart movie, probably too smart for an idiot like me. But...
No. Oh, no.
But no, I don't know. I just couldn't get into it. And then Vampire's Kiss, I also liked. You know, I can see why people liked it, but I, like you, was just super put off by Nicolas Cage's performance, that it just bummed me out.
Yeah, he's bad. He's very bad, but I'm not sure if his badness accidentally is good in this or not.
Yeah, so I can totally see, because I mean, and of those two movies, I think I'm definitely in the minority in terms of people that don't like it. I think most people have pretty positive reactions to both those movies, so I know I have an unpopular opinion on those two, but...
Damn straight.
What about you, Kevin?
Well, mine, this should come as no surprise because...
Ghost Dad.
Yeah. but this is one, this is, I think, one that's kind of widely considered a classic, and I feel like a dummy for never having seen this before, so I should have paid more attention to Mike Dick, and that is Westworld. We just watched this recently, and I loved everything about this. I thought the idea was great. You know, it made me think about, you know, anytime that a movie kind of makes me think about, like, what I would do in these situations, you know, that's good, you know, because it kind of gets you thinking. Ever since we watched that movie, I was like, man, you know, what would I do if I went to a theme park like this, and how would I have it play out? And you know, Yul Brynner is kick-ass in this. The whole cast is great. The special effects for the time are great. This just recently came out on Blu-ray. I ordered a copy immediately. It's just awesome. And so, you know, anytime that I buy a movie quickly after watching it, that's a good sign. So this was fun, and I think this will be one that'll become, you know, one of those kind of staples that, you know, I'll throw on every so often and enjoy.
Yeah, this was real close to making my list. This movie was great. I really liked this. It looks amazing. Yul Brynner is terrifying in it. And this was super fun and really a joy to behold. And again, I never listened to anything that Mike Dick says, but in this case, he was right. And this movie's great. And I feel sad that I took so long to see it.
Yeah, I picked this movie, so I couldn't put it on my list, but it's great. And Yul Brynner, quite possibly the scariest villain of all time. I mean, I'd have to, like, sit down and write down my list of villains, but he's probably pretty close.
That'd be a good list, though.
Yeah, if he had, like, a razor glove, he'd be the tippy top of the list. But yeah, this movie is absolutely great. I'll probably pick the sequel, Future World, on the show at some point.
Nice. All right, well, let's switch it up and talk about one of our least favorite movies. We got three of these as well, so
we're doing every other.
Yeah, let's do every other. I think that'll be a nice little yin and yang.
Good thinking.
Yeah. So, Mark, what was one of your least favorite films of the past year of Junk Food Dinner?
Well, now this is one that we did fairly recently, but I just did not enjoy this. And that is Attack of the 50-Foot Cheerleader. This should have been funny and, like, should have been a good time, but it was just really, really bad, I think. It was just kind of a stinker, and I just wasn't into it. You know, I like Roger Corman. I like a lot of the ingredients in this, but the soup was no good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it wasn't bad enough to make my list, but because, I mean, any movie that ends with two naked giant girls fighting in a stadium, like, I mean, I can't fault yeah, too badly.
I guess that's true, but
this was way bad. And it was one that I really wanted to like too. I think that was the biggest bummer about it, is because I was like, well, yeah, this, like you said, all the ingredients were there for an awesome movie. You got, you know, giant cheerleaders, you got boobs galore, you got you know, cult actors, you got Treat Williams hamming it up, so this should have been great, but yeah, it was just super annoying and not as fun as it should have been, so I can see why this would make your list.
Yeah, I find this to be an average movie. Like, it's not good, but there are dumb enough jokes and big enough boobs that it's not totally bad, I feel.
How about you, Parker? What do you got?
I've got Rocktober Blood. This is probably the worst slasher movie of all time, I would say, that I've seen. In that, most slasher movies, they get to a certain point in the story where, like, slashing commences. And in this, it's all just a bunch of, like, build-up and lead-up to some slashing. And then the killer goes, "Hey, I'm the killer, I'm going to slash everybody." And then the credits roll, and it's just terrible, just the worst. Man, I don't understand how you end this movie without the slashing.
Yeah, this movie sucked big time as well, and I feel bad because I'm the one that picked this for the show. But this was one that I always saw, like, list, because, you know, if this wasn't like a quote-unquote heavy metal horror movie, and like, because it always gets like lumped in there with like Black Roses and Rock and Roll Nightmare and all these like heavy metal horror movies, I think if this had nothing to do with heavy metal, no one would ever remember anything about this, because yeah, it is subpar and just stupid, and it's a real bummer. So not recommended.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not a buy. This movie totally sucks. The soundtrack's good, but the movie, I would say, is less than good.
Absolutely.
That's agreeable.
Kevin, your first worst?
First worst for me. Now, this is tough, because we watched a lot of terrible movies last year.
Mm-hmm.
I had a real long list of my least favorite movies, so narrowing this down was pretty tough. But my first worst is Hologram Man. Because that movie was garbage.
No.
And I think it wasn't helped by the fact that Mark kind of hyped this up a little bit before we watched it and told us all about, you know, his experience with it. And they played it at a bad movie night, which is you know, usually a sign of a good bad movie. But this I just found awful. I mean, the acting sucked in it. The special effects were terrible. The storyline was dumb. There's nothing really to get excited about. So overall, Hologram Man, no good.
Yeah, this is pretty bad. It kind of hits me in the sweet spot, though, where, like, even though it's, like, just terrible, you know, it was made, like, in the early 90s, and I probably, unbeknownst to me, like, hidden deep down within my memory banks, I probably watched it, like, 30 times on Cinemax when I was little. And so, I like all those, like, dumb, stupid, like, Demolition Man ripoff movies from the 90s, of which there were millions. So, I mean, I certainly don't like this movie, but I'm not going to call it terrible because of that sweet spot I got.
Fair enough. All right, well, let's get back into the good. Mark, what's another one that you dug last year?
Another one that we did this last year that I really liked and was kind of surprised by, but had a total blast watching this. And again, another one that I was just like, why haven't I seen this? That I think everybody but me had seen at this point was Screwballs. Just an absolute masterpiece of the genre. it's just super fun. I think we did this in the summer, which was like ideal. I had a blast watching this and talking about it, and just kicking myself for not having seen it.
Yeah, this is really cool. I mean, this always kind of ranks up there with, like, Porky's as one of those classic teen sex comedies of the 80s. And, yeah, it's a Canadian production. It's super fun. The tensions over the face is great. The music is hilarious. The double entendres are aplenty. Lots of nudity. Lots of goofy humor. So, yeah, this, if you like Porky's and you like Revenge of the Nerds and classic 80s screwball comedies, this is where it started.
That was a good one.
I mean, come on, it starts off with a giant hot dog bumping a chick in the ass.
Yeah.
Classic.
Which you think, like, well, it can't get any better than this, but it does.
Absolutely. Even the names are sexual innuendos in that movie.
Who could forget the unforgettable character Tommy 69?
My favorite was the guy whose name was just, if you hold a calculator upside down and it says boobs.
Parker, how about you?
My next good one is a movie that I got a lot of flack, I feel, for not seeing. It's one of those ones where, like, I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen that. And everybody's like, what the shit? And, like, they slap me a few times. And that's The Frankenhooker.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Love that Frankenhooker now. And a good amount of this love. Like, I like the exploding hookers part. But I would say that, you know, 80% of my enjoyment comes from about 10% of the movie, and that's when the titular Frankenhooker is going out on the town and asking people if they want dates and if they got any money and stuff. I think that is super hilarious, and I've probably watched the ending of that movie with her involved like 20 times or something now. It's so good. I love that part so much, and the rest of the movie's good too. But man, that Frankenhooker, she's fucking hilarious, is what I'm trying to say. Love her.
Yeah, it's too bad that you can no longer find those copies of the VHS tape where you push it and it says one a date, because you could have hours of fun with that thing.
That's true. That's the best part, I feel. So that would really come in handy.
Yeah, I recently, I think shortly before we did this on the show, I picked up the Blu-ray version of this from Synapse, and it looks great, and it's there's a lot of cool special features on this. And also, there's a quote, and I think this was on the VHS as well, but it's from Bill Murray, and he says, if you see one movie this year, make it Frankenhooker. So I like that quote. But yeah, it's a super fun movie, and it's really rewatchable too. I mean, because when I buy a movie, a lot of times I'm thinking, like, because there's a lot of movies I really like, but I don't own them because it's like, how many times am I going to watch, you know, Apocalypse Now? Like, it's a sweet movie, but I'm not going to watch it a bunch. But, like, Frankenhooker is one that I can watch any night of the week and enjoy. So,
totally.
It's a good one to own. But, yeah, love that Frankenhooker.
It's good. I don't own Indeed. It yet because I'm a jerk, but I will. I'll definitely own it soon.
Yeah, you're going to need this.
I know, Grandpa.
Kevin?
My next good one is a movie that it's another one of these that I had heard about, you know, before. And it's like one of those titles that you always hear.
Oh, Ghost Dad.
And I feel like I saw this probably on the video store shelf and you know, never watched it, and it's not a good movie by any means, and it's probably one I didn't go back and listen to the review, but it's probably one that I didn't even really gush too much about when we watched it. But
I want to guess what this is because I think I know,
but it's one that I've watched since and I really want to find and buy. But it is Microwave Massacre.
That's not what I was gonna guess.
But yeah, I didn't know what to think of this when I first watched it because it's kind of off-putting because it's very low budget, but the lead performance is so good, the comedy is so goofy and just so weirdly paced and timed, and like the actual massacring part, it's kind of like Bloodsuckers from Mars in a lot of ways, or from Outer Space in a lot of ways, because it's super low budget, the comedy is corny as shit, but there's such an earnestness and like such a fun vibe through the whole movie that it's one that definitely has repeat viewing possibilities. So if you haven't seen it, because you know there's all these massacre movies, you know, there's the Wood Chipper Massacre and the Nail Gun Massacre and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre and the Sorority House Massacre and all the, you know, how can
Slumber
you
Slumber Party Massacre.
Right. How can you separate them all? But yeah. Microwave Massacre is a fun time, and I really dug it.
Yeah, well, you won't get any guff from me. I love this movie, even if Jackie Vernon kind of looks like my dad sometimes in this movie, which he was not pleased to hear.
Yeah, this is a good one. If I remember correctly, it starts out really strong and then kind of meanders about, I felt, but starts out strong. Starts out with boobs, I think, doesn't it? Isn't like the first shot some boobs or a butt? I like that in a movie.
It's a butt, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Sure.
All right, well, let's get back to the sour side of this steak.
That's the grossest thing ever.
what's your next least favorite movie, Mark?
My next least favorite should come as no surprise, and that is Cabin in the Woods. That's a joke, I'm just kidding. My next least favorite should Grandpa knows should come as no surprise, and that is The Bunny Game. This is a worthless piece of trash for no one. It's an absolute waste of money and time, And no one should ever watch it.
Why?
Come on.
No, I'm not defending it, but, you know, if someone's listening to this and they haven't heard our Bunny Game episode.
Good.
What's so bad about it?
It's mostly set in the back of a truck, like the back of a semi. And it's just a girl getting slapped around with really grating, terrible local metal music. And, like, a grisly old truck driver just, like, beating the shit out of this girl. There's nothing going on in this. Like, it's not... It's about 87 minutes too long. Nothing happens. This girl has her own name tattooed on her. It's just like a fucking waste. It's garbage.
I do not like this one bit.
I watched this with Grandpa and Mike Dick, and it was one of the most awkward viewing experiences of my life, because Grandpa was super into it.
Yeah.
No, come on, you guys know exactly what I mean.
Oh, it's, yeah, totally.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a fucking pile of shit.
Yeah, I picked this for our ghoul episode because I had read about it and I had heard things, and I was like, well, this is perfect. This is gonna fit right in there for this, yeah, this ghoul episode. Yeah.
That was a rough episode all around, but man, this was like, at least Necromantic was, like, kind of fun.
Incorrect. I did like that Kevin picked this, because this was by far the ghouliest movie. We did Necromantic and Human Centipede. And I don't think anybody was expecting Kevin to pick the harshest movie.
Yeah. I mean, this, it's, like, rough, but not, like, not in a way that has any merit, and not in a way that you can, like, take anything away from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just some kid who was like, you know, I want to beat up a girl.
And I'm tough as fucking nails. Look at my beard.
Yeah. It was a guy who was like,
I got tattoos.
It was a guy who's like, I know that I can find a girl so eager for attention that if I set up a camera, she'll let me beat her up. And this is going to be great. Yeah. This is the kind of stuff that makes Dr. Drew cry.
Fuck this movie, fuck the people that made it, and fuck you if you like this movie. I can say that. I'm not on this show anymore. Fuck you if you like this movie.
I'm with you.
Back me up, Grandpa.
This movie I found offensive, The Bunny Games, but or The Bunny Game, but not as offensive as my number two movie. Although, after watching this movie, I did feel what I imagine that girl felt like, and that's God Bless America.
Number two. Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Yeah. Yep. If you want 90 minutes of somebody telling you that they're better than you, check out God Bless America.
It's a number two movie, all right.
Mm-hmm. Doo-doo. But yeah, this, this movie is just the worst. It's the story of a guy who's so fed up with pop culture and society and how mean everybody is and how violent everybody is that he becomes a mean, violent person, and the movie does not understand that there's irony involved in that. And it's just awful.
Or does it?
No, it doesn't. It's not smart enough to realize that it's becoming the things that it's talking bad about. And it's becoming the things that are wrong in its... It's just fucking stupid. It's full of contradictions, and I hate it.
Yeah, I didn't hate this. I didn't love it either. I mean, I was really hoping to like this, because I am a fan of the Bobcat, and I was hoping to like this, but I didn't hate it, but I certainly did not get into it as much as I was hoping, but because you're right. I mean, a lot of it is very preachy and very dumb. There were things that I did like about this, but a lot of it was rather annoying. So it was, as far as disappointments go, it was a pretty big one last year.
I'll say.
Yeah, it sucked. This movie's fucking stupid too. It's just like, it's the heaviest handed, like weakest attempt at satire, and like, it's no Shakes the Clown.
No.
It's a far cry from all of the best Bobcat stuff that we all know and love. And, yeah, it was a real letdown and a real fucking drag.
Yeah. My next one. Now, originally I had Grizzly 2 here, but I feel bad including that because it's an unfinished movie. And yeah, you can't really include an unfinished movie because, I mean, you know, it's not finished. You know, it's like a half-painted painting. You can't critique it, you know, in the same way that you would. But that movie did suck. It was super boring. So my number two least favorite movie is going to be Gothic. This is not this isn't a badly made movie, and it's not a bad idea. Because it's an interesting concept, you know, what happened in the week or nights that led up to Mary Shelley writing Frankenstein. But it was and it's, you know, it's got a you know, cool direction, and there's some weird stuff going on. But overall, I found this movie painfully boring, and pretty goofy and kind of cringeworthy in places, and it just didn't do it for me. I mean, like I said, this isn't one that, like, you know, Bunny Game or God Bless America that, like, angered me, you know, because I was like, fuck this, or this is dumb. But it just, I don't know, it should have been better than it was. And by the end of it, I just felt exhausted from all of the British chicanery that was going on. So, thanks but no thanks, Gothic.
Yeah, I feel like I could have hated this. I picked it for the show, and I like it. And I think that if Julian Sands was not in it, I might not like it. Not in the way that, like, oh, you know, I'll just like whatever Julian Sands is in, because I'm sure he's got bad movies, as we're going to get to, since I think we've done all his good movies. But I think he's, like, so good in this and so charismatic and so weird that it makes the movie good to me. And also the guy from Vanilla Sky, he was really good in it too.
Yeah, and that's why this was such a tough one to put on the list, because it looks good, the direction's good, the acting is good, and like I said, the storyline isn't bad. So, like, on that alone, it's like, well, that should just be passable. But for some reason, I just was clawing my eyes out to fucking finish this movie. It just
clawing the eyes out of your boobs.
Yeah, exactly. That and that was cool too. Like, I mean, like, so there's things in this that I liked. But it's just, for whatever reason, I was just bored to tears with this goddamn movie and just couldn't wait for it to be over.
I've smelled worse.
Yeah, exactly. All right, back to the good stuff. Mark, what is your last favorite film of the past year?
Well, I hope these weren't supposed to be in any kind of order, because they're not for me. But the last one on my good side here is one that we also did fairly recently that I was just super into, and that is Devil and Miss Jones 3. It was great. The soundtrack's great. The sets are great. Super weird and fun and porny, which is fine. And, like, yeah, I just was kind of blown away. I definitely want to see part 4 now and see the rest of the journey through hell. And yeah, I mean, it's total smut, but I really liked it.
Yeah, well, you'll be happy to know I picked up a DVD of both of these that has 3 and 4 on it for like $5 on eBay. So,
well, that's good to know.
Nice. Yeah, very, very easy to find. And I found a lot of these classic porno movies, like New Wave Hookers and stuff, I got for like $2. You know, people just don't want them, I guess, because, you know, they're old pornos and
you got the internet now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're super, like, any of these Dark Brothers ones are definitely worth having. And you know, not for jerking off to, like, your common porn, but for art. Yeah. But yeah, these are cool movies, and yeah, I like this a lot. I hadn't seen this either, but, you know, the Dark Brothers stuff is really cool, and it's definitely got its own signature. It's like, you know, you can tell their stuff the minute you see it. And yeah, like you said, the Gleaming Spires music and the soundtrack is great. Super weird, super fun.
Definitely.
Yeah, I love this movie. I picked it. I love it. It's, you know, you take out the sex stuff, and it looks as cool as and as weird as some of the weird, cool movies we've talked about. It's just as funny as some of the funny movies we've talked about. Like, it's super cool. I think it's fun. And there's that guy who looks a lot like Bill Nye that has that kills Justine, and I like that guy.
Parker, what about you? What do you got for your final good?
My final good? I don't know if you'll think this is cheaty. I saw this movie when I was like 7, but I couldn't tell you 3 things about it that wasn't represented in, you know, like the toys or something. You know, now. I'd forgotten pretty much everything about it other than the stuff that's just kind of universally known because it's one of the biggest, best movies ever. And that's RoboCop. I mean, I did see it before, so I don't know if this is cheating, but like I said, I didn't remember pretty much any of it. And I think it's just tremendous. I'd say it's one of my favorite movies. Now that I've seen it as not a 7-year-old, it's just amazing. And everybody except for me knows exactly why, because everybody else has been staying up with it since they were little and kept watching it where I did not, like a fool. So,
yeah, this is awesome. You know, like you said, just one of my favorite movies of all time. Like, not cult movies, not action movies, but it's just one of my favorite movies. And there's so much going on to it. I mean, I think on a certain level, a lot of people who maybe are outside the cult world or, you know, kind of dismiss this movie as kind of a hokey 80s action movie, or, you know, just put it on a level like The Terminator or Rambo or something, you know, just kind of mindless action. But there's a lot going on in this movie. Really funny satire, really great action, cool special effects. The pacing is amazing. Great performances. It's just an all around awesome movie.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant satire. Satire that is more true now than then. Like the stuff with the news reporters who, you know, they'll go back and forth between, like, you know, they're like happy and smiley and they'll tell you the worst news about wars and assassinations with a big smile on their face. And then they'll cut to something about a celebrity wedding. You know, like, that's exactly how the news is now. If you watch CNN for an hour, they'll tell you, oh, you know, North Korea is going to nuclear bomb everybody, but hey, Kim Kardashian's getting married, hey, isn't that cool? Like, and for that to have taken place in a movie, you know, 25 years ago is pretty great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, a big robot cop kills all these people.
Right. That never hurts.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with this movie at all. This is a fantastic film. In really every kind of department. And I love it, so I'm not even sort of surprised that it ended up on a best of list. So I would even buy it for $1.
Nice.
Yeah, Grandpa.
So my final good. Now, I had a lot of runners up on this list. Some of the ones that didn't make the cut. Killer Workout was almost on there, but
it's a good one.
It's a terrible movie, but it's entertaining. Shivers was another one that I had never seen before. Early Cronenberg, which is great. Boxer's Omen was really weird and cool, and I liked that. Shrunken Heads was surprisingly entertaining. I Come in Peace, also very, very entertaining. But hands down, the movie that probably I was most surprised by and enjoyed the most, and I shouldn't have been because our listeners damn near demanded it, and that is Society. I don't know why it took us so goddamn long to get to this movie, because we got more recommendations for this movie than any other movie. I had never seen it before, didn't really know anything about it, except for the stuff that people told us in emails. You know, mostly it was like, oh, some guy pulls his own butt out of his, you know, pulls his head out of his own butt. And I was like, well, that sounds all right, but, you know, like, how good could it be? And yeah, it was awesome. The movie itself, I mean, there's some cool stuff to it, and it's, you know, got some interesting subplots and characters and things like that. But the thing that I, you know, caps this off and makes this a total classic is the final end orgy of latex special effects that is just, I mean, it's one of those things that I don't know how this isn't considered just, like, you know, one of those classic moments of cult cinema that, you know, that needs to be remembered forever. So for that alone, it's definitely worth it. And this is one that I've been trying to track down a copy of. It's hard to find on DVD. I think VHS copies are a little more readily available, but I want to get a copy of this because this is one that I definitely want to watch again and again. So thank you, listeners, for finally making us watch Society, because it was spectacular.
For sure.
Yeah. I agree. When trying to make somebody watch this, though, you should tell them more than just the butt thing. Because, like, I would watch, like, a 30-second YouTube video if somebody was like, hey, this guy, he's got a face inside of his butt. Like, I would watch that in a YouTube form. But it's hard to sell somebody on watching a 90-minute movie where that's the selling point. So we got to find a better way to describe this movie. I'll, you know, that way they sit down and watch this. We got to spread the word somehow to these people.
Yeah, it's much more than butts.
Mm-hmm. You care about whose butt it is.
That's the thing about this show, is it really makes you care about people's butts. And I'm going to miss that.
Absolutely. All right, so last, what is your final least favorite movie, Mark?
This was, I feel like, almost unfair picking this, but I stumbled across it because it's on Netflix currently, I think. But that is Nude Nuns with Big Guns.
Mm-hmm.
And this was another kind of like throwback grindhouse-y kind of movie. And there's some definite foxes in this movie. And they have big guns. In every sense of the word, but this was crap. The writing was awful. The action was dumb. The movie itself was very dumb, and it felt like a chore to watch. And nothing called Nude Nuns with Big Guns should be a chore to watch. And so that makes it very unfortunate that I didn't like this, but I was not into this. Foxy broads aside.
Yeah, this movie's a hunk of crap. Imagine seeing, like, Desperado, like,
yeah,
with no budget and, like, with no talent,
yep,
like, at all, you know, like, and, like, no, like, no goodness. That would basically be it.
None.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
See, I disagree with you guys on this one. I thought this was good. I don't know. I thought it was fun. I didn't think it was a chore to watch. I thought it, you know, It was very reminiscent of Robert Rodriguez, but there's nothing wrong with that. And and I had a good time watching this. I watched it once, and this movie, I mean, and again, this is one that I know I'm in the minority about, because I watched this and I was like, well, that was fucking cool. And then, like, I went on the internet and everyone was like, fuck this. And I was like, really? So I don't know. I must have weird sensibilities, but I did not.
I don't know. I mean, if you can't listen to the internet.
All right.
Yeah. Who can you trust if not the internet?
Yeah, and that the worst part of this, to add insult to injury, is I'm sure a bunch of people watched this and thought it was, like, real shitty. And then the guys who made this movie sued a bunch of people for downloading illegally. So these people probably downloaded this movie. They were like, they got half an hour in, and they're like, well, this sucks. I'm going to turn it off. And then they got sued. So that sucks. If you're going to get sued, at least you should get, like, sued for fucking watching some good movies. Desperado or something.
Ghost Dad.
These people had to endure this shitty movie, and then they got sued on top of it.
That wasn't so bad. Parker, what about you? What is your final least favorite film of the last year of Junk Food Dinner?
Well, this might make me a dafty, but it's Nuns on the Run.
You fucking dafty.
This is a real piece of shit, starring one of those dipshits from Monty Python and another one of those dipshits from Harry Potter. And it's about these two guys that get together, and they wear dresses. That's the only joke. Just an hour and a half of them fucking parading in front of a camera wearing a dress and expecting people to laugh, and I guess a lot of British people thought that was funny. because they have very sophisticated humor over there, or so I'm fucking told every time I fucking make fun of Monty Python. It's, you gotta be smart to get it. Oh yeah, you gotta be smart to watch two dickheads in a fucking dress play basketball against teenage girls and then watch them in the shower. Yeah, you gotta be real smart to get that. This is fucking awful. It's just terrible. It makes me feel so justified for hating the British people for so long. And I hate this movie. I hate the randomizer for picking this movie. it's atrocious. It's worse than...
Would you watch a movie called Nude Nuns on the Run with Big Guns?
Well, that sounds like a good movie. I would get sued to watch that movie. Gladly.
It's a British Western.
Directed by Robert Ritchie.
Robert Atkinson.
Yeah. this is the worst. It's worse than, some rapey stuff like The Bunny Game. It's worse than, Rocktober Blood, which was just not even a movie, barely. Worse than all the worst shot on video stuff, your boarding houses and stuff like this. Just the worst.
Yeah, I was really surprised The Boarding House didn't make your list.
It was close. It would have been number four.
Your best of list?
My bad list.
Come on.
It's bad. It's a bad film.
It's the best.
No, it's bad. If we would have done top five, it would have been there. And Clown Murders. Those are my two alternatives. Alternates. But yeah, Nuns on the Run. Awful. Awful stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking about putting this or that Bean movie on here, but I was like, well, what's the point? Why kick a kick a dead horse when it's down?
Kick a dead horse in the mouth.
Right. we all hated this shit, and it was ridiculous. This was awful. And it was surprisingly awful, because this is one that played in the theaters in the States, so you'd think it'd have some crossover appeal, or there's some charm or something to it that would make people remember this movie, but no, it is awful.
Mm-hmm. We did get some hate mail for hating on this, though, so that's nice.
Yeah, like some salt penis. Yeah, this, I've talked about it, last week, but this, having done Nuns on the Run makes me want to do Juana Man on the show, because I'm sure there's at least one good joke in Juana Man, which is, a very similar film. It's about a guy who dresses up like a woman. And, there's ways to do this where you could have one good joke in a 90-minute stretch, I'm sure, but these guys didn't do it.
Yeah, it was terrible.
And that scene where they just sit in the girls' locker room and look at naked 15-year-olds. There's that. Creeps.
My last least favorite movie is another one that I felt was maybe too obvious. But nevertheless, I feel like it had to be on here. And that is I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. Because...
Oh, yeah, I should have picked this.
Again, not, much like Gothic, not a poorly made movie by any means. It's competently directed, and
I guess.
It's a movie. They made it well. It's not fucking Boarding House, but it just sucks all around town. Your douchebag cousin, the guy that wears the Ed Hardy shirts and is big into college football. Go on a road trip with him for a couple weeks, and you'll get the sense of what it's like to watch I Hope They Serve Beer in Hell. Douchebag Central. There's nothing wrong with this frat boy culture. Well,
absolutely, there's a lot wrong with this frat boy culture. Everything is wrong with this frat boy culture.
Yeah, but there's people that are into this shit that aren't bad people. You know what I mean?
I refuse to believe that.
It's misogynist. It's misogynist. It's they make light of rape and physical ailments and people's body, and it's rich dudes ripping on people who they feel are inferior to them. And I think there's a crowd of people that probably are into Tucker Max and his style. Like I said, there aren't bad people. They read Maxim and they're a little dumb, probably, but they but aren't bad people. But I think that Tucker Max is a bad person. from what Parker's told me, apparently this is, you know, the tame Tucker Max. I guess, you know, his books and shit are a little bit more edgy and or whatever you want to call it. But it's just dumb. I mean, it's dumb frat boy douchebag rich guy bullshit. And so if you're into that, have at it. But I thought it was horrendous. So no thank you.
Yeah, I know that Tucker Max probably, like, masturbates to hate mail, but this dude is seriously the worst. Like, the absolute dregs of society. And I disagree with Kevin. I think that people who like this are also the dregs of society. And there is no justifying this kind of culture. Like, this is just the absolute worst type of, like, hate-mongering and misogyny and it's awful. Like, I'm this might surprise you, I'm kind of a hater, but not in any sort of way like this. Like, these are the worst people, and I cannot stand to be around these type of people. And it's just I mean, this is like garbage on another level. Like,
yeah, and it's a bummer to talk about a movie like this in the way that we are, because it makes us sound like we're, like, uptight or something, you know? Like, these are the guys that are talking about, you know, boobs and blood and, you know, shit like this nonstop. You know, I'm totally cool with that, and I don't get, like, offended, like, when people, like, you know, when rappers call women bitches or something. You know, I'm not, like, one of these guys that, like, is, like, super sensitive about this kind of shit. And it's not really even what they're saying so much. It's just, they're just douchebags. I mean, there's these guys are a fucking dime a dozen. They're all over the goddamn place. Just go into any BW3s and you can recreate this movie very easily. It's just stupid.
I would like to stress that when we did that episode about drinking, I could not find my first choice, and this was the backup movie I chose. I would like to defend myself by saying that.
You're a big Tucker Max fan. You got your Lifetime Maxim subscription.
Yeah, fuck that dude. All right, cool.
I sent the movie to Grandpa, though.
Thanks. I owe you one.
Grandpa liked it.
Well, Grandpa likes beer. He's a grandpa.
Yeah.
All right, well, on that sweet note, we are going to take a quick break. And when we come back, because it is our third year anniversary, we're going to get into our first third movie of the evening. And that is Slumber Party Massacre 3. So stick around.
We have a pretty great relationship with our customers. In fact, some of them are pretty personal. If you're curious about our products, especially the junk food dinner shirt from Hide the Bodies, I can come to your house. I could come in through the front door. I could use the side door. I could shimmy up a drain pipe. I could kick in your cellar window. If you have a lattice wall, I could scale it. When I'm in your house, you can try the shirt on. You're gonna like it. And then I'll leave. You're gonna miss the things I took. I guarantee it.
All right, now listen up. This is the plan.
Scientific data reveals that all your friends are good for stealing your comic books and getting cigarette burns on your couch. That's why you need more internet friends. And we nominate JFD to be your new BFF. Like Junk Food Dinner on Facebook, and we can buddy up and chit-chat about bad movies and good movies and Corey Feldman movies.
Shine a light in your window tonight.
summertime. And the only thing the girls of Malibu Beach need is good music, good friends, and guys.
So, what's it worth to you?
I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, a guy like that is just the kind of guy we need at the party tonight.
They just invited the wrong guy. Began the most terrifying horror series of the decade. Now, the Driller Killer's back. Slumber Party Massacre, Part 3.
Welcome back to Junk Food Dinner, episode 153, our third year anniversary. So we're doing the threes. We are going through these franchises that we've mined the depths of and coming up with the third installment. And the first one of those tonight is Slumber Party Massacre 3 from 1990. Ironically, or perhaps not, this has a 3.2 rating on IMDb to keep with the theme. This is another installment of the usually excellent Slumber Party Massacre franchise, this time directed by Sally Madison. And starring a bunch of bodacious babes. From other things, I guess. But this movie's about people who like playing volleyball. They're playing volleyball for a little while, and then they have the titular slumber party back at Diane's place. And if you can believe what happens next, they all get massacred. With a big drill. Who knew? This is not as good as some of the other ones. I mean, I kind of glossed over that a little bit, but that, I mean, that's really it. That's what happens. Like, there's a creepy neighbor who you think might be doing it, but he's not doing it. And then there's, like, a creep from the beach who just wants to return someone's address book, and he's not the bad guy. And, like, you're never gonna guess who the bad guy is. But you might. One thing that I really like is that the guy from the beach, the creep from the beach who just wants to return the address book, is credited as the weirdo. So I'm into that. All these girls hang out and talk about boys, and they all love dessert, and they are very concerned with messing up this house because they're trying to sell it, but they want to dance and have fun and eat pizza. And, you know, the boys show up at the slumber party, who, and they also get massacred. It's equal opportunity here. This is, I mean, it's more of the same. And I would say it definitely has more in common with the first film, which is damn near perfect. Slumber Party Massacre is a phenomenal film. Can we all agree on that? I think that no one's going to find that to be untrue. I think Slumber Party Massacre 2, also cool. Cool rockabilly vibe. And then we get to the third one. Guys, I got to be honest with you. I really liked this. And I don't know why. The whole time I was watching it, I was like, why? I like this. Why do I like this? But and I can't put my finger on it, but something about this movie I really like, and I think it's, I mean, it's not very good, and it's not very surprising, and the cops in this are just the worst. The cops, every time, you know, they call the cops multiple times in this, like, my friends are being massacred at my slumber party, and the cops are like, yeah, right, lady, just a bunch of drunk kids. And then the neighbor calls and is like, hey, I think something's happening. And they're like, we'll send someone over right away. So garbage cops, but all cops are garbage. Not only in this movie, but in real life. So something about this really appealed to me. And it's not, you know, it's not, I'm not going to be like, well, you know, the tits. but these girls, like the delivery of some of these lines, it's like they were from another planet and they came to Earth to make this movie to try to like blend in And they're like, this is how people talk, I guess. Let's just talk like this. The setup of the house doesn't really make sense to me. The timeline is a little skewed. Like, there's a lot of things wrong with this, but I love it. The song when they're driving back from the beach, you guys know what I'm talking about? That song in a convertible when they're just like having fun montage in a convertible. That song was amazing. It was a really fantastic song, and I hope I can find an MP3 of it or a copy on a cassette or vinyl or something. But yeah, it was great. So I don't know why I like this, but I do. And it's, you know, I there's no such thing as a guilty pleasure. Like, you know, I don't need to justify why I like something to you idiots. But I honestly, like, I don't know why I like this, but I really do.
Yeah, I started out liking this. It sort of had, like, a cool mixture of the first two movies. Like, the first one was, like, a pretty straight slasher movie with, like, there's some funny parts here and there, but it was pretty straight and pretty, you know, violent and, you know, the things you would expect from a slasher movie. And the second one was just like, this weird, goofy fucking mess. Like, there's a 20-minute stretch in the middle where girls are just dancing in front of a camera, and then, you know, the chase with the final girl at the end is like a musical. Like, it's just a weird fucking thing. And then this is kind of a mix of those two things at the beginning, where it's rooted in reality, unlike the second one, but it's, you know, fun. They're having fun. People are having fun, and, you know, it's an excuse to show off, like, chicks in bikinis and stuff. And so I liked all that stuff. Like, I liked this cool mix of it, of that, and it seemed fun. There's, you know, the volleyball game is fun, and setting up all these weirdos who might be the killer is fun. There's the guy on the beach and the neighbor, and, you know, there's a lot of the slumber party that's fun. For a while, it sort of feels like, you know, like they just took the script from the second one and just did it, like, different tonally, sort of, you know, where there's, like, a big dance scene and girls are hanging out in lingerie and ordering pizza, and it feels very much like a Slumber Party Massacre movie. But then the killings start, and there's that cool death where a guy gets impaled with the house for sale sign. I thought that was cool. But then about 50 minutes in, when only, like, two or three people have been killed, and I think, like, only one of those were, like, actual party attendees, you know, then it's revealed that a lot of people are dying, and, like, a whole entire house full of people have this knowledge. And that happens at about 50 minutes in, which seems way too soon to reveal that. Like, that usually happens a lot later in slasher movies. So I was like, well, all right, that's interesting. Maybe they're going to go some cool direction with this. And they just don't. It's, like, real boring once the massacre starts. You know, everybody already knows, so there's, you know, like, a lot of, oh, do we run outside? Do we stay in here? Do we call the cops? Do we search for weapons? Do we do this? Do we do that? And it's revealed who the killer is. And because they set up so many weirdos, it's obvious that it's not a weirdo who the killer is, because, you know, they've set up, like, all these many weirdos, so they're all red herrings. So that was pretty telegraphed and pretty obvious. There's a weird rape scene that happens where the bad guy's, like, raping a girl, and it's, like, goes on for, like, minutes and minutes and minutes, and then they pan out, and her friends are just watching it happen, even though the guy's been blinded with bleach. Like, I don't know why they didn't help her at all. That was weird. I don't know. If this movie kept on going like it was going in the first 45 minutes or so, the first half, I think this would have been good. But once the massacre starts, it just gets boring and dumb and uninventive, and I didn't care for that. So, I mean, on the whole, I guess it's like an average film, but it could have been cool. It probably wouldn't have been good as one or two, but it could have been a fine addition.
Yeah, I had the same experience with this Slumber Party Massacre that I did with the other two, and that is, I started off watching and I'm like, all right, what's this gonna be, you know? Slumber Party slasher movie. No big whoop. Seen it, done it, no big deal. But the this is just like the first two.
I get hooked in, and I end up loving it. So I really like this, and I can't disagree with your points, Parker. I mean, and even for the first two, there's a lot of this. It is common slasher ground, and some of it's not really super inventive. I mean, the second one's pretty out there with the guitar and this weird kind of supernatural rockabilly guy. And this one, you know, like Mark mentioned, was kind of more akin to the first one. And I was wondering, is it the same house in all three movies? Because it seems very similar. At least this one and the first one seems like the same house. But who knows? But I always have a surprisingly good time with these movies. Like, I had never seen any of these before doing them for the show, or maybe you know, caught a little bit of them on cable or here and there. But every time I sit down to watch one of these things, I'm like, all right, you know, here we go again. And by the end, I'm like, this is fucking great. And there's no real justifying it, because it is pretty corny, and there's so many like weird things to these movies. Like, first of all, one of the things that just blows my fucking mind about all three of these movies is they're all three written and directed by women, and all separate women at that. It's not like, you know, we have, you know, six women total here that were involved in these three movies, which I think is crazy, because on the surface they seem like just they hired some dude and were like, hey dude, just, you know, do the most stereotypical male fantasy that you can think of. Have these chicks get in their bra and panties, you know, pillow fights, and then have some guy come in with a big phallic drill and, you know, pick them off. And it seems like so, you know, cliched, misogynist, you know, horror slasher stuff. But the fact that they're written and directed by women, I think puts a really weird and interesting kind of spin on these movies, because, one, like you mentioned, the dialogue just seems so fucking out there, like, and it's so unrealistic in a lot of ways, because, I mean, like, you know, how many fucking girls get together and they're like, hey, who wants to see me in my bra? Like, let's do a striptease. You know, like, that shit just doesn't happen except for, like, in, like, pornos and, like, in male fantasies. But at the same time, there is something, and I think it's a credit to the actresses in this movie too. There's something in all three of these movies, and this one in particular, the actresses are not too terrible. Like, I mean, there's something like very believable, like especially like the lead actress in this. I think the girl that played Diane, it's the situations she's in are weird and stereotypical and over the top. But she's very believable, and a lot of these girls are very believable. They seem like, you know, girlfriends, like, having fun. I mean, like I said, granted, it's in a very exaggerated scenario, and there's very exaggerated dialogue, but the performances themselves feel very natural, and you feel like you understand a little bit and appreciate who these girls are, and I think that helps go a long way with all three of these movies, where it keeps it from becoming like this tedious, tired slasher cliche. So I'm with Mark. I had a lot of fun with this movie, and all three of these movies I think surprised me on how much I liked them, because they seem on the surface very cookie cutter and very, I mean, especially now when after the whole slasher craze has died out, it seems like this is just the most cookie cutter shit you can think of. But all of these movies are super fun and super watchable. And I am definitely going to go back and revisit these. You know, these are great late night watches, you know, movies with friends to watch. They're just fun. I mean, it's like the fun of a slumber party, with a bunch of fucking hot chicks. Mixed with a horror movie, and it's like, I guess that formula is just like unbeatable. But I also think the fact that you know, they've got talented people working on them, and it's not to say that these movies aren't without faults, because they certainly are. I mean, there's fucking plot holes galore, and there's bad dialogue, and there's cheesy situations, and there's you know, very simple setups. But overall, I mean, just in terms of fun, these three movies, I'm hard pressed to think of, like, besides like maybe like Toxic Avenger or something, like a more fun trilogy of films to just kind of like sit back and enjoy. So I dug this.
Awesome. Yeah, I would say that Slumber Party Massacre is like the first one, I would say is probably like desert island material. And this, you know, like you said, like, I guess maybe the actresses are good, but they're, like, good in a really weird way. Because sometimes I was like, is that even English? Like, who talks like that? But it, and I, that's what I mean, is I don't know, like, what about these performances was good. I mean, it was, like, engaging and whatever else, but, like, you know, why? So, I mean, I will watch this again. There's that box set that came out that has them all. And I should probably just snatch that up.
Yeah, totally.
I still haven't gotten off my ass and gotten a copy of the first movie soundtrack on LP, and I should definitely track that down. I'm hoping to find some of the songs. Some of the songs in this third one are wretched, but that first one in the convertible, I really like it. I mean, it's just like cheesy pop music, but I thought it was really great.
Yeah, one of my biggest regrets is when this three-pack first came out from Shout Factory. If you bought it directly from Shout Factory, you got a pillowcase with a blood stain on it that said Slumber awesome. Party Massacre. And, man, I really wish I had that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, pick up the three-pack from Shout Factory, because all three of these movies, I mean, I definitely think this is the least of the bunch. You know, if we're ranking them, I think they pretty much go in order. Although two, like, really stands out for me just because it is so weird and it has that weird vibe to it. But even this being, like, the definitely the least good of the three, it's still fun on its own level. And, like, watching all three of these back-to-back, I think would be fucking, like, that just sounds like a party to me.
Absolutely. A slumber party.
Right.
I guess there's... I don't know how official it is, but I guess I think when Jim Wynorski did a fourth one called, like, Cheerleader Party Massacre or some crap.
Oh, was it one of the Sorority House Massacre movies?
No, it's not one of those. I guess according to Wikipedia, it's the fourth one in this series. It's just titled differently. I guess I should have looked it up before mentioning it, but... It would be fun to see that one, as it's made by Jim Wynorski, who is not a woman. So it would be fun to see how he takes it, and how tonally different it is with a man in charge of this formula. I bet it's probably not very good.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and the fact that it's not included in the official trilogy of these, yeah, probably it's safe to say that it's... not in the same ilk, because all three of these, while they're all made by separate, written and directed by separate women, they all have a common feel to them, and I think they have totally different characters, but I think they all have a strange kind of cohesion to them that I think works well together. So
awesome.
Cheerleader Massacre is the name of that movie, which apparently all four of them are included in the Massacre collection, which includes Sorority House Massacre, Sorority House Massacre 2, and Hard to Die, which I've never
Dang.
Seen. Oh, yeah.
Well, I think that just about wraps it up for Slumber Party Massacre 3, and the first film in our three-for-all. All right, yeah. Our three-for-all. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Frogtown 3, The Toad Warrior.
Yeah.
I was on a cross-Atlantic flight with Kyle from Kentucky. He got up to use the restroom, and when he came back, he wasn't wearing a shirt. It was cold on the plane. I reached into my carry-on bag and pulled out a junk food dinner shirt from Hide the Bodies. He was warm. I was warm. I guarantee it.
We gotta let the people know.
I know you will find this hard to believe, but podcasting is not a lucrative business. In fact, Kevin, Mark, and Barker barely have enough money to feed their gambling, drug, and pornography addictions. So, needless to say, they cannot afford big advertising campaigns to promote the show. That's where you come in. You enjoy what you hear every week, help spread the word about Junk Food Dinner by telling your friends about us. These can be real, flesh and blood friends, or just some creeps you talk to on movie-related message boards. Either way, don't keep JFD all to yourself. Spread the word, you selfish bastard. Just kidding, you know we love you, baby.
And if you like it and you want it, you'll get greedy for it! You'll want it every day of your life, and it can happen to you!
What's going on?
Welcome back to Junk Food Dinner. The next movie is Toad Warrior, a.k.a. Frogtown 3. This is directed by Donald G. Jackson and Scott Shaw, also written by those two guys. Took two guys to make this movie. These are the guys who did the first two Frogtown movies. They also did those shitty Rollerblade movies. They're terrible. This movie is... in addition to being the third Frogtown movie, they say it is also sort of more so influenced by the first two than it is a direct sequel. Evidence of that is the fact that Sam Hell, formerly played by Roddy Piper and Robert Zadar, is no longer our hero. Now we've got Max Hell, because it was the late 90s and Max was the cooler name. And we also have, you know, a lot of the same characters from the first two, possibly. It's hard to tell. They make reference to a lady named Spangle, who is now a short brunette and not Sandal Bergman, and a couple other characters like that. I don't know. It's sort of like the first two, but not really. Which is to say, it's sort of like the first one, but not really, because the second one was mostly just a remake of the first one. The frogs look significantly shitty in this. I just want to point that out before I go any further. This is sort of the story of Max Hell, who, in a post-apocalyptic war zone where people live in the desert, but other people have been mutated into frog guys, kind of. Human bodies, human skin, frog heads. And some of the women just have frog faces, and then human heads. It's real cheap looking. This is a film that is described as Zen filmmaking, where by the directors. And from what I understand, Zen filmmaking means they're just making everything up on the spot. And that kind of shows. That's kind of obvious. I don't know. It's hard to talk about this movie because, like, there's not really, like, a plot. There's something about this guy, Humphrey Bullfrog. He tells Max Hell about how there's some serum that turns frogs into people. And then after that, there's, like, a lot of sword fights. Joe Estevez is there, which this seems really...
I would say there's, like, one sword fight.
Yeah, there's
over
one...
Over and over again.
There's one sword fight they show over and over a lot. There's a lot of cars driving around in the background, even though this is supposed to be the post-apocalypse. There's a cool line in this. I think my favorite part of the movie is when a guy says, "Hey, what are you doing to my friend, the swamp farmer?" And I thought that was kind of cool. I think that's a good question to ask people. The swamp farmer in this movie, he has a tiny little alligator puppet friend. And learning more about that guy, apparently he's in another movie by these guys called Roller Gator. So if you like that stupid little puppet alligator in this movie, there's like two movies about him. Apparently he got some spinoffs. I don't know, they use a lot of the same screams when all the frogs die. The fighting is real dumb. Max Hell will be walking around with some girls, and then all of a sudden there's just a frog standing in front of him. And then he chops it up in just the weakest, dumbest way possible. And then they walk a little more, and then another frog pops up. It's like just the most boring thing you can imagine, really. Near the end, what enraged and confused me is that Max Hell will be talking to a girl, and then, you know, like, he'll say some stuff, and then a couple scenes later, he'll be talking to a different girl, and he'll say the same exact stuff, and then that'll happen a third time, and then they just, like, repeat scenes. The first scene in the movie comes back, and they replay that. All throughout the movie, they keep re-showing these same, a few same scenes where Max Hell, you know, stabs a guy with a sword, and then they're just repeating scenes at the end, and that's how the movie ends, with them repeating a bunch of scenes over and over. It's really weird. There's a lot of jokes about how money is green in this for some reason. Every single woman character talks about how they need to have a manicure or pedicure. This is just one of the dumbest movies. Apparently there's a cut of this movie. Well, they recut this movie like 6 years later as Frogtown 4. Which I haven't seen, and I hope that I don't ever see it. But apparently there's also a 30-minute cut of this movie, which I think would probably be ideal, and probably still be about 20 minutes too long. This is just awful, and I apologize for making everybody watch this, but we did, Frogtown, the first one on our very first episode. We did the second one on, like, our second anniversary, I think, and, it's kind of tradition that we have to do these Frogtown movies. But man, oh man, this is just awful. How do you guys feel about it? You guys like it, though? It's good to you guys?
Man, this is the dumbest movie I ever saw.
No, this was awful. This if we had made our least favorite movie list sooner, I would have included this in the number one spot. And if we had to do maybe our least favorite movies that we've ever watched on this show, this would also be rank very high. this is awful. This is, okay. So this is one of the cheapest movies I've ever fucking seen. We've done porno movies on this show, and they look and are produced much better than this piece of crap. I went to this Scott Shaw's website. Doing research for this movie, And there's this whole thing about Zen filmmaking and the art of Zen filmmaking and the philosophy of Zen filmmaking. But like you said, it's just, hey, showing up with a camera and just doing whatever comes off the top of the dome. Print it. And I wish I could have thought of this excuse back in school, because if you can get away with that shit, you can just say, "Oh, I did the book report. It's just a Zen book report, and this is my version of what happened in To Kill a Mockingbird." No, it's terrible. The acting is the worst. Just honestly, just some of the worst. This has porn star Jill Kelly in it, and if you thought porn stars were good actors, you are wrong. If you're like, "Hey, Jill Kelly's hot, I'd like to see her shoot a gun, and I'd like to see her boobs," there's lots of pornos that you can do that, and it will be much more entertaining and much more better produced than this. I also thought it was funny. Joe Estevez is in this, brother of Martin Sheen and uncle to Charlie Sheen and Emilio Estevez. And he looks and sounds a lot like Martin Sheen, which is weird. The set that they have him in is literally just a bunch of cardboard boxes draped in fucking fabric. And he sits atop that and ad-libs dumb lines. And I had to wonder, like, what Thanksgivings were like when Martin Sheen talks about the West Wing and Charlie Sheen's talking about, you know, all the movies that he's been in and how he's, like, you know, one of the highest paid guys on television. And Emilio Estevez is reminiscing about, you know, The Breakfast Club. And then Joe Estevez is like, "Hey, any of you guys check out Toad Warrior?" That was pretty sweet. In addition, Joe Estevez has also been in a lot of these bullshit movies like The Rollerblade 7 and Return of the Rollerblade 7 and The Legend of the Rollerblade 7. And that's a goddamn shame, man. You're one of the most famous acting families in the world, and you're literally doing the worst movie that I've ever seen on a show where we pride ourselves in doing terrible movies. So that's bad. You know this movie sucks dicks when in the opening scene you get a sneak peek at what these toads are going to be all about. And one of them's just a dude in cargo shorts with a toad mask on. Nah, don't paint his legs. Don't even put on different shoes than the ones you showed up to the set with. Keep the shorts on. Keep the t-shirt. Just throw on this frog mask. Get in front of the camera.
That's Zen, baby.
That's Zen.
Zen as hell.
Holy fuck, this movie sucked. The budget, according to Wikipedia, is $375,000, and if that is fucking true, I've got some things that I'd like to sell Scott Shaw. But goddamn, this was terrible. I would not recommend this to anyone. I mean, I guess it's probably a bad sign when the first one was good, the second one was a drop off a fucking cliff, and this
exists.
And this is like hell on earth. Hell comes to your VCR. this was actually. I'm gonna pull up my friend Robo Fredo. What did you think of this?
This is garbage.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, much like my robot counterpart, I did not enjoy this film. I was actually shocked that a movie could be this bad. Because I don't think we'd seen something this bad in a really long time. Everything about this is terrible. Literally every second of this movie is painful and sad in a way that we haven't experienced in a great while. So, I guess I'm thankful for that. I'm glad this movie reminds me how bad things can really be. When I think, like, man, this movie's pretty bad, all I have to do now is think about Frogtown 3, and everything's going to be 10 times better.
Would you say everything's Zen?
I would say everything's Zen. I don't think so. Zen filmmaking sounds like something they came up with after they made the movie. When people were like, is this really it? Like, this is it? You're done? And they were like, well, yeah, here's what we did. See, what had happened was, the dialogue in this, I don't think, I can't even believe this. I can't believe this fucking movie is real. I can't believe that Joe Estevez would sink to such depths. I can't believe how many times they show that silhouetted shot of him hitting that dude with a sword. I can't believe that Purple Alligator had a spinoff, like, and that I might rather watch that than ever even talk about this movie again. This is the movie that killed Roddy Piper, so I hope you guys are happy. He saw this and died.
Yeah, the other thing that really pissed me off when I was going to the Scott Shaw's website when he was talking about this movie, besides the whole fucking Zen filmmaking garbage that they try to play off, is that they also really try to hammer home the point that, like, this was the original vision of Frogtown. Like, Donald G. Jackson didn't like the original one and thought his vision was taken away from him for the second one. It's like, well, if this was your fucking vision, dude, just be glad. Yeah, be glad that those first two movies got made, because otherwise no one would give a fuck about this home video that you guys made. Ugh.
Yeah, and if people want to visit that website, what is it? It's angelfire.com/...
Yeah. But yeah, it is. I mean, if you made a terrible movie, just take fucking credit for it and say, look, this was dumb. We tried to, we thought that Scott Shaw and Jill Kelly could ad-lib if we just showed up and said, hey, go for it. And turns out they can't. They're not.
Mostly, though, we wanted to pocket a lot of that $375,000. So we cut literally every corner. This is now a sphere. There's nothing else to shave off of this movie. We got it all. Just picked the bones clean and then said, it's done. The original vision.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Yeah, to be fair to Jill Kelly, though, she's probably the best actress, or actor at all in this movie.
Yeah. Well, she actually has some screen experience.
Right. Yeah. She's, yeah.
And they drug out Conrad Brooks's fucking corpse for this. It was in a bunch of Ed Wood movies.
Yeah, that was
so. I guess
sad.
He's.
That's so sad.
Well, he's used to being in fucking garbage. So.
Yeah, but man, I bet even Conrad Brooks was like, "Are you guys for real?"
Yeah, Jill Kelly's like, "I'm gonna go have like four dudes come on my face because that's less demeaning than being in this fucking movie."
I don't know. Conrad Brooks was in a movie called Dr. Horror's Erotic House of Idiots. That sounds really good. I'm going to find that. We're doing that next week.
Jesus.
I'll come back for that.
Yeah, so I guess that about does it. Grandpa, how do you feel about these Frogtown movies?
Even being in a war doesn't prepare you for this. They never stop. They come at you and come at you, and they never goddamn stop.
That's for sure.
I think that's a Jill Kelly quote.
All right, that wraps it up for Frogtown 3. It sucks. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're not going to fuck with the Chuck.
Donald Lloyd here again from the Junk Food Dinner Warehouse. After dominating in a pickup basketball game at the local park, I threw my sweaty t-shirt to one of the kids on the other team. He played hard, and I felt like he deserved it. It was a Junk Food Dinner t-shirt from Hide the Bodies. He's gonna like the way I looked at him. I guarantee it.
Are you on Twitter? Are you sick of all the dorks you're following, though? Spice things up by following us at Junk Food Dinner.
Following JFD on Twitter turns every bored look at your phone into a party of extreme magnitude. You'll get show updates, you'll get some jokes, you'll get the airing of grievances, and you'll get up-to-date information on the ingredients of the sandwiches we're currently eating. Twitter.com/junkfooddinner.
Say that the children don't just move faces out there. Don't pull your school by the school. Don't say no grass or chalk, no. Hey! Yeah! Don't say no grass or chalk, no. Hey! Don't say no grass or chalk, no grass or. Yeah! Don't say no grass or chalk, no grass or. Look at that! Because you know that chalk don't look it. Yeah. Tell you, I'm about those songs I was saying. Say no pass or chalk, you don't pass up. Don't you do those I was saying. Say chalk, you know. Say no pass or chalk, you don't pass up. Say no pass or chalk, you know. Say no pass or chalk, you don't pass up. Because you know that chalk, you know. You know that chalk, you don't love it, I was saying. Look at that. Tell the soldier round there with him, Bokeh. And so the soldier round there with him. Yeah! And you know that Chucky don't love his house. So put your soldier on
left, 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 right, left. Welcome to Hell on Earth.
You are without a doubt the most pathetic thing I have ever seen.
Oh! Oh! Strict discipline.
You asshole.
Next, rigid dress codes.
Get those weapons in the air. I want to see them high.
And grueling drills. It couldn't possibly get any worse.
Yeah! Wrong again, wimp.
Chucky's back. A few years have passed.
Andy, how you've grown.
No, you're dead. We killed you.
I'm new and improved.
And this time,
I really gotta get out of this body.
He's looking for a new recruit.
I got some fresh meat lined up, and I'm not gonna let you spoil it.
Now,
just think, Chucky's gonna be a bro.
Child's Play 3. Look who's stalking.
That haircut ain't regulation, soldier.
Don't fuck with the Chuck!
Welcome back to Junk Food Dinner, episode 153, the final film that we're going to be taking a look at on our three-year anniversary is Child's Play 3, Look Who's Stalking. This is the third installment in the now legendary Child's Play series of films. This is kind of a weird one because it's supposed to take place 8 years after the events of Child's Play 2, although it was released like only like a year after Child's Play 2. So that's strange. I don't know if this is supposed to, I guess, take place in the not too distant future. But yeah, Andy, the lead character from the other Child's Play movies, is now a teenager. He has been sent to a military academy after bouncing around from foster home to foster home because of his delusions of a murderous doll. And so he, at the beginning of the film, we see the demolished remains of the climax of the second movie with melted Chucky and the destroyed toy factory. And for some reason, once again, they take the parts of that doll, melt it down with blood. And the opening sequence is actually pretty cool with like the melting plastic mixed with the blood. Mm-hmm. And create more dolls. In the first scene, somebody at a board meeting says, "I really don't understand the logic of remaking these dolls." And I screamed, Me fucking too.
You're fired.
Every time with this shit. Not only remaking the doll, using the same plastic as before. The same haunted plastic that is haunted with the soul of famous murderer Charles Lee Ray. With the voice of Brad Dourif back again, voicing Chucky. So, of course, another murderous doll is produced with the soul of Charles Lee Ray in it. The opening is another part of the opening scene as we get to see Chucky murder the stupid head of that fucking corporation that keeps making this dumb decision to remake this doll. And Chucky's back. This time, the animatronics aren't as impressive as they have been in the past, but still, it's pretty cool. They've put a little bit more animation into his face. Chucky's face moves a lot more. His mouth is a little bit more animated. You see more of his teeth. So he kind of has a meaner look to him this time around. But the story plays out where Chucky ships himself to the military academy where Andy's staying, which is how he did that. I have no fucking idea how he wrote the address and put postage on this wrapped package that he is now inside. But, you know, it's a Chucky movie. What are you going to do? But instead of Andy receiving the package, a young boy named Tyler, who is also at the military academy, gets him. And Chucky realizes, hey, I can put my soul into this kid now instead. And so the movie plays out as you'd expect, with Chucky picking off various people one by one, trying to put his soul into the young Tyler. The movie climaxes at a super cool carnival in a haunted house thing, which is one of the fucking coolest set pieces I've ever seen. Like, I just want to go to this haunted house. It's like, you know, it's kind of like a mix between like classic dark rides where you ride, you know, in a car, and there's all kinds of just great, cool effects. It's like, I don't know, it just seems like something that I would love to actually do in real life. It's funny though, because like apparently this carnival is going on just feet away from the military academy, which, I mean, they can like walk to it in a matter of seconds, which is weird. But other than that, I mean, this is this a lot like the Slumber Party Massacre movies. Is every time we've sat down for one of these Child's Play movies, I've gone into it with kind of low expectations. I've seen all these movies as a kid because they played them all the time on fucking cable. You couldn't escape the Child's Play movies. So every time I've sat down to this, I was like, all right, here we go, Child's Play. I know what I'm getting into. And every time I have a better time than I think I'm going to. The first one is great. The second one is great too, great climax. And this one, not as good as the first two, but also has a lot of fun moments in it, and it's definitely a good time to watch. Like I said, I think they felt like they had to kind of top the climax of the last movie, which was, you know, this crazy doll factory fight. And so having this in the amusement park, I mean, seems like the kind of next logical step. And I think that was a cool way to end this and kind of continue the trend of like these great over the top, you know, climaxes to these movies. So Chucky, of course, is great in this. He's gotten a lot more wisecracking and has a lot more stupid lines in this. For example, the little kid Tyler is black, and Chucky says, "Yeah, Chucky's gonna be a bro," and I just rolled my eyes at that. I'm like, oh, God damn it!
In part four, when he says that Chucky's going to be a bro, it's because he plans on taking over Tucker Max.
There you go.
He just like pops his pink polo shirt collar and says, "Yeah."
So I mean, this is pretty dumb. You know exactly who's going to die because it's the assholes. They're going to die. Like, I mean, and they make it like the people that get killed very unsympathetic, like right before they die. So it's like there's like dead giveaways of who's going to get the Chucky treatment. Yeah. So it's there's no real surprises. You know exactly where this movie's going to go from start to finish. But nevertheless, it is a fun ride. And Chucky, as always, is fun. So. You know, I enjoyed this. This is one I was like when I first put this in, I was like, I don't know if I've ever seen this one before. But it turns out this is the one that I've probably seen the most. I think this one was on cable a lot, and
yeah,
once I started watching it, like, it all came back to me. I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen this shit a bunch of times. And so, I mean, but it was still fun to watch. Even having seen it, it was a good time and fun to kind of relive. So what did you guys think of Child's Play 3?
When I was watching this, I was struck by how few movies are now set in military academies and how that's, like, doesn't seem to be a threat anymore for kids. Like, you know, it was constantly a thing in these movies where it'd be like, you know, you better shape up. We're going to ship you off to military academy. And that doesn't seem to happen anymore. So, they made me think about that, but I absolutely agree with you in that every time we sit down to do one of these, I'm like, okay, here we go. Another Child's Play movie. And then I'm like, all right, okay. I don't know why Chucky has teeth in this, but sure. seems like they kind of go out of their way to make him look more pissed off every time, and this company is really making a lot of missteps, and I also, who's still buying these? Who's going to be like, oh, that doll associated with the murders. My kid's going to love this.
Yeah, well, and also, they make it out in this movie like it was like a lot of people are just under the impression that this was all just in Andy's head. Like, well, what about the fucking body count? Like, what do they attribute like all these deaths to?
Yeah. Exactly. Like, there are a lot of plot holes in these movies, which is shocking to me. But these inevitably end up being more fun than I either, like, give them credit for. Like, or like, even, like, think that they're going to be, but I always have a blast. And, like, you know, I was actually talking about this with somebody the other day, where I was like, the first Child's Play is fucking scary. The movie is terrifying. And, you know, they're going to get less scary as they go on, as you do, but, yeah, I mean, they don't get bad for a little while longer.
Yeah, well, I think that they, unlike a lot of slashers, and I think we probably have talked about this, but from Child's Play 1 to Child's Play 2, I think they knew, probably from past experience with, you know, Jasons and your Freddies and everybody, like, and Halloween, like, you can't just redo the first one. And in the second one, Chucky goes from being the scary guy to being the main character in, like, something of an action movie, almost. And the same in this one. And so, yeah, I think that that's why these movies probably have legs, is that it's not just another Chucky finds some other kid and, you know, and kind of has to work in the shadows and nobody knows and all this. Like, they kind of went a different way with it, and I think that's what's cool about the second one, especially, and this one as well, is that, you know, it's Chucky's story. It's Chucky going around killing people. He's, like, the main guy. Who even cares about Andy? And Tyler, especially. Tyler's the worst mailman. He is given this package to give to Andy, and that scene always enrages me, because he drops Chucky, like, 5 times, and then he steals Chucky. Like, why would anybody give this kid some packages? He's terrible at delivering packages. Maybe I'm the only one who's upset by this. Anyway, yeah, I'm glad that you guys like this, because depending on how much you like the sort of weird Chucky, like, postmodern revival of 4 and 5, this is either the third best Chucky or the fifth best Chucky. So I'm glad you guys enjoy it. I would be curious to see how you feel about those crazy, weird John Waters, Frank Henenlotter-inspired 4 and 5s. But this is a movie that I like. It's my least favorite of them all. But there's a lot of stuff I like about this. It's just weird for Chucky to be in a military academy. Like, and, like, there's so many, like, Full Metal Jacket references and stuff. Like, I would have loved to see Chucky in, like, other, like, Stanley Kubrick movies, you know? Like, him hanging out in that weird sex orgy party from Eyes Wide Shut, or, you know, like, in the Overlook Hotel or whatever. There's a scene
denim jacket.
There's a scene in this where Chucky is under Andy's bed, and you know, Andy's sitting there, and then Chucky, like, slices the back of his heel, like his Achilles tendon. And as we learned from Hostel, like, that's pretty much a death sentence. But but Andy doesn't even have a
limp. Yeah, and Pet Sematary.
Yeah, yeah. But Andy does not even limp the rest of the movie. Does not care one bit, so that's weird.
That's tough. Military school. That's how you do it.
Yeah, it toughens you up. Lieutenant Shelton in this is probably like the biggest, you know, oh, I hope that guy gets it, dickhead. And like, certainly in this series, probably, except for maybe Redman in Barn 5. And maybe in all of Slasherdom. Like, he's like the biggest asshole. And the whole time you're waiting for him to get his comeuppance from Chucky. And spoiler alert, he dies through other means. And that's always bummed me out. That's always been anticlimactic to me that Chucky didn't set that.
Old age.
Yeah. He dies 30 years after the movie ends.
It's after the credits.
Yeah.
There's like a flash forward
of him dying peacefully in his sleep.
Yeah. Surrounded by his loved ones.
After living a full and productive life. So that's always bummed me out. In fact, he dies, like, they do this paintball fight at the end before they get to the weird magical carnival. And it's supposed to be a paintball fight, but Chucky, in his infinite wisdom, he replaces the paintballs with bullets. So Sheldon gets shot with real bullets.
Now I get that.
Yeah. And, you know, in this movie, Shelton's the only one who gets shot. Like, they, you know, he gets shot, and then they're all like, oh, what? Dude, live bullets. This is not paint. WTF. But I read the novelization as a kid when this came out. And in the novelization, that's a real massacre. Like, dozens and dozens of kids die. And I wish that would have been in this movie. I guess the studio thought that dozens of, you know, young children being shot to death probably wouldn't go over too well. The guy from Cobra and Hellraiser is in this, and he tries to give Chucky a haircut, and that scene's really weird. And I don't know why he would try to do that.
He's got a haircutting fetish.
I guess so.
I mean, that's established as his only character trait, as he loves cutting people's hair.
Yeah, there's nothing else going on with that guy. Also in this, spoiler alert, Chucky gets his face cut off, and that's like the coolest fucking effect ever, is that for, you know, like 5 more minutes afterwards, Chucky just doesn't have a face. Instead, it's just blood and guts and brains and stuff, and that's fucking sweet.
Yeah, that was really cool. I fucking loved that. I thought that was really sweet, but I did have to question it. Why does he have guts?
Exactly.
Well, the longer he's in
what
the doll's body, the more human he becomes, and he eventually gets blood and stuff.
Okay.
Like if he would
write that down.
Well, they mentioned that in the second one, because he gets a nosebleed.
I thought you were going to say the novelization.
And also in the novelization, there's 3 chapters about that.
I'm looking at this novelization. I can get it for a penny on Amazon. I'm buying it as we speak.
Man, it's really good. I remember it being really good. And that's, dang, you know, I'm sure we talked about this after the horrific end scene of part 2, but that's one thing that I love about the Chucky movies is that they're not the goriest movies because they came in like the late 80s, early 90s when kind of gore was on the way out. But, man, they fuck Chucky all up. Like
Al Gore was on his way in, though.
That's true, yeah. but Chucky goes through just the most miserable, horrifying pain. Like, they cut off his arms, they shoot off his hands, they're melting him with plastic.
He's a monster, though.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, he's like, they slice his thumb. He's a total monster, but he's probably like the realest, like, I don't know. It's just awful, the stuff they do to him. It's great. Like, he...
That scene where they slice his thumb is brutal, though.
I agree. And I love that other scene where he chokes on some food caught in his throat.
Well, in 2, he gets a nosebleed for no reason. Gary Coleman was right.
Many times your nose may just start to bleed and you don't know why.
That's true, he didn't know why. Oh. But it turned out he was in the body for too long.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Just like Gary Coleman was.
That's true. But yeah, so the climax of this movie rules. Like, they just mess Chucky all up. Like, he goes through so much pain and torture. It's kind of sad to see. Especially considering something that I just noticed this time watching this movie. And I've seen this movie dozens of times, easily. But in the beginning, in that cool opening credit scene, like, they're making Chucky again. And, well, as a side note, in the second one, they just take the existing Chucky doll and they remake it into a new Chucky doll. And in this, they put Chucky's blood accidentally into the vat of plastic. And I'm always bummed out that that doesn't result in there being, like, 20 Chuckies that roll off the assembly line.
Yeah, that would make way more sense.
Yeah, than just the one Chucky. So that's always bothered me. But yeah. Anyway, so they're doing that whole scene where, like, the plastic's coming together and it's making a new Chucky doll. And then you see Chucky's face without the eyes and teeth. For some reason, there's teeth. And he screams no.
Yeah, right?
Upon waking up. And it's so horrifying that he screams no when he wakes up because it sort of implies that he enjoyed being dead. And I think that adds a really, like, weird, melancholy aspect to Chucky's character that he's bummed out to be alive again.
Oh, I kind of took that as him waking up from, you know, still, like, having... From the end of two, like, when he's being destroyed there. You know what I mean? Like, when you wake up from a dream and you scream no because, like, your thumb's getting sliced or whatever, but, like...
Oh, yeah.
That's... It was, like, a continuation of that pain, and I don't know. That's what I took it as.
Yeah, that could be that, too.
I've never read the book, though, so I don't know.
Yeah, you'll have to let us know what it means in the book, Kevin.
I will let you know.
Cool. But, yeah.
Did you get the hardback?
Hell no. That didn't come out in hardback.
Yeah, but I think this movie is fun. Like I said, it's my least favorite, but it's still good because I love these Chucky movies, and I'm glad that you guys like it.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Great oldies.
All right, well, I guess that just about wraps it up for Child's Play 3. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to put Mark on a raft, set it on fire, and send it out to the ocean.
Don't expect a hug.
Grandpa!
It's 2013, and we're all concerned about the Illuminati. Are you a lizard person? Do you need to cover up your hideous scales or possibly gills? Why not try one of our junk food dinner shirts from Hide the Bodies? We're gonna find all those triangles you put in your video. I guarantee it.
How do I say goodbye?
I hate this.
To what we had.
This movie is horrible.
The good times that made us laugh.
Why not let a cartoon monkey win it up? These pornos are making me horny. This is garbage. I like this a lot.
To say goodbye to yesterday.
All right, so. Final episode with Mr. Mark Fredo. It's been a blast, man. 3 awesome years. Thank you so much for your time, your effort, your laughter, your wisdom. We're going to miss you, brother. So it's going to be a new chapter in JFD study next week with Mr. Sean Byron. I think you guys are going to love him as much as we do, and it's going to be fun. Next week, we're going to be taking a look at Witch Hunt, Tiger on the Beat, and Bad Boy Bubby, so that should be a lot of fun. First episode with Mr. Sean Byron, so make sure you check that out. In the meantime, make sure you visit junkfooddinner.com and vote on what movies we're going to do for Junk Food Dinner episode 157. You've got 9 choices. Pick your 3 favorite and vote on the website. And yeah, it's your chance to let us know what we should be doing on the show. Also, if you're on the website, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also leave a comment for us or, find links to our email, and all that fun stuff. So make sure you visit junkfooddinner.com.
My obituary.
Yeah, you can find Mark's obituary there. But yeah, Mark, as I've said before, it's been great doing the podcast with you. We're going to miss you. Make sure you keep up with what Mark's doing at the Spectacle Theater. And if you're in New York, make sure you stop by and visit him and see a wacky movie. So yeah, this is the end of an era for Junk Food Dinner, but we will begin anew, just like we always do, next week. So until next time, this is Kevin Moss, Mark Fredo, and Parker Bowman saying adios to everybody. We will see you next time, except for Mark.